Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply.
Did you know you could shop around for prescription prices? With GoodRx, you can find free coupons at over 70,000 pharmacies and save up to 80%. It's that easy. But don't just take my word for it. Dr. Adam says, I've been telling all my patients about GoodRx. Jacqueline says, my medication was $65 without insurance, but I paid $25. Aubriana says, you don't have to pay full price to live your best life. Couldn't have said it better myself. GoodRx is 100% free. Download the GoodRx app today and start saving. GoodRx is not insurance.
I'm Brian Goldfinger from Goldfinger Injury Lawyers. We'd like to wish you and your family a happy holiday season. Remember, if you're drinking, texting, smoking cannabis, you shouldn't drive, or somebody's going to have to hire my law firm to set things straight. Visit goldfingerlaw.com.
All right, take three. Yo, sorry, man. We're wasted. It's the RR Christmas party.
It's getting way less professional by every introduction.
My recorder is just not working, so that's cool. That's cool. We've established so far that this has been a lit party.
Yeah.
It's been pretty lit.
Yeah, we've had a good time.
It's been Joe Kim Noah in New York City lit, you know.
Yo. That's a good way to put it.
Like, Memphis will be a good time type party.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you to Betty's.
It's so lit that the four of us are standing outside the bar in the cold talking about the Raptors losing to Portland. No, I'm kidding. No, it was actually a great time, man. I mean, shout out Zarar and Sam and everyone that runs the site, Blake, you know. Yeah. Good time, you know. We always obviously got to keep a bit of money for this party, and it was worth it. So anyway, let's talk about this game. Kind of a shitty game, let's be real.
Yeah.
It kind of ended the Raptors. So the Raptors, like, were down the whole game, you know, playing rope-a-dope, you know. Like, the Blazers didn't look that great, but they hit timely threes.
Yeah.
And the Raptors had a chance, you know. They were down two. Fred VanVleet had just gone for a layup, and he came back down the floor 1-on-4 and took a bad shot with a minute left, and that kind of killed the momentum a little bit. I don't want to put the loss on Fred, but I mean, just take us through that last play. What happened?
Oh, he certainly can't put the loss on Fred, you know. 21-8. Like,
yep.
That's just, like, Fred said, yep. Fred said many times that he wants to be a starting point guard in this league. And he's proven pretty, like this is what he wants to be, and this is the way he can produce if he's going to be a starting point guard. But, like, in that situation, like, he's just going to kind of be a bit more wise to, like, pull it out, probe, things like that.
Yeah.
When you're 1-on-3, you kind of got to know a bit better. Like, obviously, like, Fred's thing is that he bets on himself and he's going to go in and amongst the trees. Mm. And, like, 8 out of 10 times he's going to make a good play when he's just kind of, like, going in like that.
Yeah.
He's just kind of got to know better and whatnot. But I don't know. He's a young player and he's going to make that mistake sometimes. And in December, he'll take it.
Yeah. Like, Fred's part of the reason we came back in the second half, too, right?
Exactly.
I think it was, like, a 12-point game.
Yeah.
Like, in that second quarter, it was kind of drudgy. We were, like, playing in the mud a little bit. And then we kind of pulled it to within 8 at halftime, and you got that feeling we were going to come back in the second half. And Fred's hitting threes and, you know, providing the energy off the bench. I think he shot, like, 7-for-11 for, like, 20-plus points. That's still, like, a lot of production.
I think he shot. Looking at the box score, I think he shot.
Well, yeah. 7 of 11, that's right.
There you go.
I think he shot 7-11.
So, you know, my memory serves.
So he's just got, you know, like, he's obviously got, like, the requisite shot-making ability, but the problem is, you know, once he gets the confidence going, sometimes I just feel like he gets away from that passing game, and we've seen that with guys like JV or even Siakam or Serge. He just doesn't sort of, you know, make the conscious effort to make that pass sometimes, and maybe being overzealous in those, like, you know, fast-break opportunities is one of the reasons what the Raptors, you know, kind of folded at the end there, not to mention a couple of botched plays by Kawhi and a few other plays as well. Not that Kawhi didn't play well, but a few other botched plays down the end, for sure, not just Fred.
Yeah, I mean, look, listen, Fred has been great. Again, like, we can't say enough. Like, the fact that he won against Steph, outplayed Steph in Golden State.
Oh, and now Seth.
Let's talk about how elite a defender he is.
We will plug your piece. But, I mean, like for real, like, he even went up today against Dame Lillard, went toe for toe, right? I mean, like, Dame got a couple buckets. Like, you expect that. But for the most part, he did a pretty good job defensively. He made that bad play at the end. But, like, part of bet on yourself is, like, sometimes you lose that bet. The only concern I have with Fred is, like, How good of a passer can Fred be, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't think he's good at passing to the role man. Pick and pop, he's good. He's just not good at feeding the role man. And it's... he's not perfect, but, you know.
Yeah, and that's the value of that game is, you know, without Kyle and with Kawhi, they've had, like, one game this year. Maybe two, maybe zero, I don't know. But they need experience in those situations where Kyle's on the bench and Kawhi's playing. And they lost, and that's fine. They can handle a couple losses, but the experience in that situation is super, super valuable. Getting Fred those reps, whether he wins or not, is I think more valuable than the win.
Okay, let's talk about that, like Kawhi running the team versus Kyle running the team, right? Again, this is a stupid discussion because the Raptors have both players and they're obviously best with both players. However, why is it such the case that the Raptors are 7-1 without Kawhi in the lineup? And they've had some very impressive wins over that time. You know, they beat the Clippers, they beat the Warriors recently, they beat the Lakers and the Jazz, you know what I mean? Like, some pretty good, all road wins, by the way, with the Wizards as well, road win. Why is it that the team looks better when Kyle's there and Kawhi's not there versus when Kawhi's there and Kyle's not there?
Well, you guys remember last year the Everybody Eats Wizards? Okay, I think part of that is because...
wow, you're saying Kawhi's John Wall? I'm not saying that at all.
I'm just saying it's so hard to scout a team when they don't have their best player because everything is just around what your best player is.
Okay.
So when Kawhi's not playing just on like the random night of a back-to-back, like last night he played, it's like, okay, everything they did was off of Kawhi in a way. Yeah. But tonight, Kawhi's not going to be there. And that's what I remember listening to Woj talk about it one time. It was like everybody was like talking about when it was the Bradley Beal-led Wizards and last night it was the John Wall-led Wizards, or like 2 weeks ago it was the John Wall-led Wizards, and the whole sample size of what the Wizards are is with John Wall. It's so hard to game plan for what that is, and I think that's part of the reason why you're seeing the Raptors be so good without Kawhi is because teams don't know what the Kyle Lowry-led Raptors are at the time. Just because like the system is built around Kawhi. Yeah. And when just a team comes in a random night and you played the night before, it's kind of hard to just only in one day's prep get ready for a team that every single night is built around Kawhi and tonight just built around Kyle Lowry.
And the thing about the system is people don't recognize how important like just doing the same thing every night is. Like if you have the same guys playing 30 minutes a night every night, that's a huge advantage. Like the Raptors have had Kyle and JV, like may his thumb rest in peace, and all these guys
he still got it, man. Like
may his thumb rest in peace.
It's on his hand. It's on his hand, like damn.
And all these, like, they've all played together for so long, it's pretty easy for them to just play a great game. And to have Kawhi step out and do his thing, obviously he's a more talented player than Kyle. Like, no one's going to argue he's worse, but it just takes more reps for him to get to that point where it's just easier to play well without thinking.
Yeah.
And that's what the value of tonight's game was.
All right, Sean. My counter to this is that Kyle has been running... he's been running the point for 6 years, and he's the motherfucking point guard, okay?
Yes.
I don't know if you're trying to play basketball. Without your point guard, you don't play well. And this has sort of been a trend going back many seasons, right? Yeah. So how can you expect Kawhi Leonard, after being here for 2 months, and suddenly know how to do what Kyle Lowry does?
Nobody can.
That's fair. No, 100%. And that's, like, putting a lot on him, too, right? Yeah. And, like, I think, like, Lowry has been, like, let's be real, he's been the engine that's kind of started this whole thing since that Rudy Gay accidental trade that's happened. And he's been like the, you know, unquestioned sort of leader behind that, so we can't ever question that. But at the same time, I think like when the team plays without Lowry or without Leonard, especially like tonight, I think without Lowry, it's definitely a testament as to how much of a playmaker he's been this year. He's just been a machine in terms of being an assist, an assist making machine. As we look around us and
bro, King Street is wow,
and wonder if we're even recording this in a safe. Safe area right now.
Of course, we're safe. We're just trying to be thoughtful people.
Of course.
All right. Well, what else was I going to say? I felt like was this a winnable game?
Because certainly,
okay.
They got themselves. Sorry,
I didn't know you were coming to me.
Well, it was a one possession game at one point down the stretch, right? And we just watched a couple of possessions. I think Portland hit a couple of timely threes. Yeah. That Al-Farouq Aminu three was huge.
Yeah,
and then those were like they just hit a couple of dagger threes down the stretch. And then you know with the home court behind them, we kind of let go a little bit. Winning in Portland's always hard.
I come from the other perspective. I think that game was. They weren't even close. Like,
what?
Kawhi hit, what, two threes.
Yeah.
In the last 5 minutes that were, like, pull-up contested shots.
The bar was lit. We were going
like,
crazy.
Those are MVP shots.
Yeah.
We were all screaming, but, like, you can't count on that.
But
like
honestly,
you can't count on that though, because I feel like Kawhi, I don't know, man. I don't put it past Kawhi because
it's a classic steal a game that like a guy that's top five is gonna steal you.
That's my point. If they're close, it's because they stole their way into.
I mean, think about how many games the bench won for us last year in the second half, right? This felt like one of those games where going into halftime, it was like an 8-point game. We're like, oh, you know, we have the momentum. I feel like once we put our foot down in the second half, we'd come back, and we did. And the moment we brought it within one possession, I thought we could take it home, but we just couldn't.
Yeah, Jakob Poeltl, may he rest in peace.
I only thing I would say about that is, like, yeah, I agree, man. Portland hit some, like, dumb...
rest in peace. What's
a bro, what's going on, man? There were some dumb... There were some really dumb threes, man. Like, I mean, okay, Seth Curry's a good shooter, but, like, anytime Seth Curry's hitting threes on you and, like, Nick Stauskas is getting, like... Yeah, Nick Stauskas is getting dunks. Remember, he got, like, a layup.
Nick Stauskas?
He got uncontested layup, but he could have dunked that. He honestly could have dunked that.
He actually could have,
No, he couldn't dunk that.
No, Nick Stauskas is...
You can jump higher than
me. Man, put some respect on Mississauga, right? That's
Hazel McCallion's son right
there. I was just going to say, that's definitely Hazel's grandson, all right?
Breaking news in the podcast.
What's going on?
Yo, let's Siakam is no damage found in tests after his hard fall against the Blazers.
Okay, we should contextualize that, okay? So Siakam had a bit of a hard fall, going hard to the layup, you know, like was airborne. CJ made a play on the ball, right? He tried to take a foul.
Yeah, it was
and, like, he,
McCollum,
yeah. Honestly, the way that CJ Mouser played this, he might have hurt Pascal, man.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, I got a daughter to feed now, man. I need these minutes, man. No, I'm kidding.
He's got to do something.
CJ was fine today. He had some threes. But, I mean, yeah, so Pascal took a hard fall, kind of fell in his tailbone.
Where's that box score at? You guys used
to... Oh, yeah, stay...
We're
yeah.
away now.
Yeah, he stayed down for a bit. He was good, though. He's good.
It's cold out here.
What did he
okay, the one, the last...
We think he shot 5 of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 of 10.
If I had to guess, I mean...
Wow. Yeah, 5 of 10, 13 points. Looks about reasonable, you know.
That makes sense.
Yeah, no, he
Yo, that's his
hit,
best
hit two
year,
threes,
right?
Hit two
like
threes.
One of his best
that would be his best game of the
year. Like, a couple of shots. Like, CJ's on the floor. For once he makes that first shot, it's that slippery slope feeling you get as a defender, and like he served that purpose tonight in the second half. I thought his shot making ability was big, like him and Kawhi hitting those like back to back, you know, threes in that fourth quarter was huge. So, like for CJ standards, I thought it was good, but he also had a couple of dummy plays with a turnover there, and the headband, man. What was up with the headband?
Yeah, no, that's not what he needs.
It's just not a good look.
It's a guy searching. Yeah.
It's better looking than that. Also, can I point out, Will, you had such a fantastic tweet about people valuing his.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was fucked up, man.
People need
the
to
open
realize,
gym. We're talking about the open gym episode. Yeah,
in
the
being a parent is more important than being a shooter. And you like honestly, people are like, you need to take time with. Like, what are you doing with your family? You need to be in the gym, getting up threes. That's awesome, insane. And I appreciate you calling that out. Because,
no, I mean,
this is sixth time in double figures this year. Oh my god,
I can't believe there's been six. No, but for real, on the CJ thing. Like, yo, listen, like, we all watch sports as like a distraction from our lives. Like, that shouldn't be so selfish as to, like, infringe on another person's life.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like,
preach.
Unless they're doing some sus shit. But, like, him being that's nothing to do. It's ridiculous. The last thing I want to talk about before we do, like, three stars and shit, and it's like, so Kawhi, first half, 3 points. I would say... outplayed by Al-Farouq Aminu, right? He didn't even play. Man, relax.
Yeah. And in the second half, to come out the way he did was incredible.
Yeah, like 25 in the second half.
It was incredible.
I mean, was that just rust from Kawhi? He just needed like the first half, or what was going on there?
Yeah, I think Kawhi he rises to the moment, right? Like we saw that, we've seen that like in his time in San Antonio and his early time in Toronto. Like he thrives off of those moments, and like once he saw one of those shots go down, I think we had like talked about it. You know, once he hit that shot, it was like that was the shot DeMar couldn't hit, which was those like.
I sent a bad tweet, man. I said he was having a playoff DeRozan kind of game. Yeah. He ended up having a regular. He had a regular season DeRozan game, 28-6-4.
Yeah, and those pull-up threes are just massive for the team, especially without Lowry, who's probably the only other guy on the roster who can kind of create that gravity on the court and hitting those types of shots. So that was incredible.
Yeah. All right. Let's do three stars. We'll just get each of you to pick one, all right?
Oh, my.
For first star.
Yeah, no, Lewis is going first.
All right, Lewis, let's go.
I'd say Kawhi. Obviously Kawhi.
Okay, Kawhi.
I mean, to continue on what he was saying, like...
Bro, he didn't even play the first half.
Yeah, that's what I... Like, the first half he came out...
Look at the box score again.
Yeah.
Look at the box score again and pick Danny Green for me, please.
The first half, coming out without Kyle, trying to be like, here's... We're missing a point guard. Let's be a point guard. And he fills in not well. And the second half, he comes in as himself, right? Yeah. Let's play like myself. And he comes out incredible. And, like, obviously, we haven't had a guy like that in respect to when he comes out playing like something we've never really seen before.
Yeah, absolutely. Second star, I think, has to go to Danny Green, man. Like, it's a close call between him and Fred, but I think, like, in terms of just everything Danny Green gives offensively, like, it's such a polished game. He's so smooth. Like, there's never a time that he makes a mistake that makes me want to, like, be like, oh, what are you doing? Like, it's just everything is so in control and it's methodical, and I thought today was a perfect example of that, and, like, he was a big part of that second half push. I think he deserves a second star, Fred VanVleet. Close third for me, but
I don't agree. Just feel it.
I agree with that. Yeah. So Fred's definitely the third star.
About Fred.
I guess, like, you know, Fred's shown for so long like what he's going to be in this league, and like if a team eventually is going to invest in Fred as a starting guard, and eventually I really hope the Raptors do.
Yeah.
Like, he's shown this game, the Golden State game, the Clippers game, like every game, but like the last two specifically, he's been absolutely incredible. Like, he shows you like he's bet on himself. He can be this, like, you know, you were saying tonight, he's not exactly steady because he, you know, plays outside himself sometimes, but he can really be like, like, it's like when he first came in the league, everyone was like, oh, I guess, like, maybe I'm reaching a bit too far when you say you can be a starting pointer in this league, but like, he's showing a lot, like, man, like, this guy can be a starter in some team. Like, I think me and you talked about once, like, he could be a Darren Collison guy.
He's super good looking, too.
I wouldn't say that. I would say that.
All right, we're gonna discount you from the Fred VanVleet discussion. All right, Fred's fine, but like super good looking.
What are you talking about?
He's got that Drake swag. He's got that Drake swag.
He's got a good haircut. He's got good beer lineup, but like that's
definitely be a starter.
He's got good. He's a classic case of, if you got good hair and good facial hair, then you're good.
He's a classic case of thick and gorgeous.
Wow.
So he's in.
Shout out Blake Murphy. All right. Nah, I'm kidding.
Shout out
ODB. No, Blake slim thick, man. He's slim thick. Wow. All right. Blake, I'm sorry, man. Yeah. I'm sorry. All right, but...
Fred had a good game, I guess.
All right, okay. I want to say one thing about Danny Green, right? We were talking about, like, Danny Green, like, in the games where we needed more from Danny, like in that Golden State Warriors game, in that Orlando game when he hits the game winner, like, in games where we needed more from him, he has stepped up and given you more.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what you want to see. Like, same thing with the first Warriors game. You were seeing those clutch threes. And the same thing tonight. He was making all the best plays and defensively. He was, like, if I had to reshuffle shit, I'm putting Danny Green number one.
100%. Like, he's got a certain poise about him where he doesn't let, like, the moment or the, like, situation to, like, poise, like, you know, figure, like, shake him in terms of his poise and his overall kind of calm demeanor. And, like, even the way he shoots, like, he can be off balance in a shot and just, like, readjust midair to just, like, get, like, the perfect shot off. And, like, the arc in his shots just look beautiful. He's just a smooth, in-control player. Like, there's no other way I could put it. And I think that's a function of, like, being in San Antonio for that long and having that championship pedigree. And obviously, like, being a close friend to Kawhi and having that chemistry with him has helped him as well. So, like, absolutely, I think he's coming around. And I think... what we initially thought was a throw-in was actually like a pretty valuable asset that I think could contribute to a finals run.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say about Danny for tonight is just like for a guy who's like in a contract year, like in his he's 30 years old, like you would normally want to take a lot of shots, get your big numbers, because this is the last time you got a big contract. He has not one time this season made a selfish play.
Oh,
not
he's been
once.
A solid pro,
And that's offense and defense, everything.
Like, every time he has a good game, he's so fine with the next game just like being a role player again.
Yeah.
Like he's he's like, you know, the Spurs always say we get guys that have gotten over themselves.
Yeah.
And that is Danny Green, epitomized.
Yeah. Also runs kind of funny.
He does. He kind of waddles. You know what? He's not very fast running forward.
Waddles is a really good way of putting it.
Yeah. All right. And then in terms of Fred, I mean, we're just seeing like Fred's like importance on the team, right? Like last year he was this important. And like this year, I mean, like obviously he was like slow to start the year. Maybe that had something to do with the toe injury. But if this is what we... Man, how many 504 buses? Oh, come on, man. When I get to get home from work, I don't get this many 504.
Henderson.
Yeah.
All right, let's do Gerald Henderson.
Oh, like
all right.
Zach Collins. We talked about him a lot tonight.
All right. While you guys are looking at the box score about Fred, I think Fred's.
I disqualified you from talking about Fred because you. No, I'm kidding.
I love Fred.
All right.
I think Fred's the exact type of guy where he is the perfect role player, but when you want him to step into something bigger, I mean, he needs to work on that, obviously. Yeah. I don't think that's his perfect role, but when you ask him to do less, he will give you more. When you ask him to do more, he'll give you less.
Like, he serves his purpose as kind of that bench addition, but
exactly. When
you put him, ask more of him, he might struggle.
Whereas Danny Green, you ask him to give you more, he'll give you more, right? He's the role player who can always give more. And so Fred is, so I'm just rambling now. What do you got on that box score?
All right, I was going to say, you're the only one without
the
box.
Only thing I'd say on Fred, the only thing I'd say on Fred before we move on to the Gerald Henderson would be, like, dude was so important to that second unit last year, right? Like,
you're not even
can't forget
looking
that.
At the box score.
when Bam Adebayo clipped him for that screen, and when we lost him for that first round against Washington, like, that was a subtle, like,
it was very felt.
That was a big loss, and like, we felt that in that even that second round against Cleveland in terms of just didn't feel right. So I think we're underestimating how important he is to that second unit, and he is sort of that the heart and soul of that second unit. So I think he's super important.
Gerald Henderson,
out of the box. Gerald Henderson, I'm going the bench. They got four guys in double figures.
You got to pick one guy, man. You can't pick the whole bench.
I don't know how this works.
I'm going
Zach
Collins
first.
Pick
one guy. Zach Collins. All right.
No, Zach Collins actually had a very good game. He was very effective. You were talking about tonight, like, he might be one of the best backup centers.
Good looking guy.
Actually, one of the best backup centers in the league, and he showed it tonight.
He's the best looking guy in Portland.
And six assists. He has six assists.
No, it's just 16-4. No, six assists.
Oh, that's Evan Turner. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, we're wasted, man. You couldn't tell by now.
Come on.
All right.
Good game for Zach Collins. Good haircut for Zach Collins.
Okay. Also, the shooters off the bench, man. Stauskas and Curry.
I was gonna say, let the soccer man talk about Stauskas. All right. What's your best Nick Stauskas memory?
Nick Stauskas memory. Well, I mean, not that I had any personal memory with him, but just driving by Loyola Catholic Secondary School every day on the way to the GO station to go to work, I think about Nick Stauskas and how he was, you know, lighting up those gyms.
That is the most meaningless memory.
What's Loyola's reputation?
Loyola's they're actually pretty good. They're one of at least when I was in school, they were one of the better teams in like Region Appeal Secondary School Athletic Association, whatever that was.
How were they compared to where you went? Where'd you go?
I went to Woodlands.
Yeah, man, I played on the same court as Andrew Nicholson actually when we played Father Michael Gates at one point. So yeah, no, we've seen our fair share of Canadian ballers for sure.
Yeah, we just there's an ambulance going by. This is man, this is a terrible podcast. It's either an awful podcast and no one's listening, or it's the best one
of the
season. God
bless you if you're still listening.
Bottom five for sure.
God bless you if you're still listening.
Merry Christmas.
Stauskas at 13. I'm gonna go with Aminu. I felt like every time you hit a three, I'm like, bro,
and it was
I
the
can't.
Timeliness
that,
of the threes
that
too,
late
right?
Three though.
Yeah, like what are you doing, Alfred Aminu? Stop, like. Yeah. But
that's the one you live with, though.
Exactly, and that's why it hurts.
That's process over results, and results just
Exactly. Some nights it's going to hurt you. Yeah. Some nights you're going to like live with that one, and he's going to miss, and you're going to make the comeback.
For sure.
Tonight it didn't work. I'm
pretty sure he stopped recording.
All right. Well, this podcast has run on long enough. Yo, there's so many streetcars. It's 1 a.m. We don't need this much service,
it's almost,
man.
It's as if you stand on King Street and you.
Dude, I gotta go home later. I do need this much.
Oh, yeah, you're right. All right, well, thanks for Terrible for listening. Thanks to Sean, Colin, and Lewis for doing this podcast. And I guess I'll recap the Denver one on Sunday. All right, peace.
Thanks.